This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. It's been a busy one today. A lot of reaction to Nick Saban's comments. The interpretation is he's not happy about the proposed new schedule. Now, let me make it clear. The SEC has not officially signed off on this new nine-game schedule. With three permanents and six rotating, it's likely we'll have more news on that in the coming weeks. But according to Ross Dellinger from SI, Nick Saban gave an interview to him. He did not like the fact that it looks like Alabama will now play on a regular basis as its three permanent: Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. Nick Saban unhappy. Spencer Hall joining us for the first time in a while. Spencer, great to have you back. I don't know where you are tonight, but I'm sure you're distressed, are you not, that Nick Saban isn't happy with his future schedule?
I think this is the first time Nick Saban has ever been unhappy that I've heard of. If anyone else has any other times when you've seen Nick Saban angry or unhappy, please report them to my email, 38godfrey@gmail.com.
It doesn't seem fair, does it, that he has to play a hard schedule?
Seems so unfair, Paul. If you do this, and I encourage everybody, like if you want to open up a spreadsheet, because on the podcast that I've done forever with some friends of mine called the Shutdown Fullcast, we tried to break down not only the SEC's rotating schedule, but the Big Ten. So just with like three friends, open up like a spreadsheet and just try to assign, let everyone pick in order, whatever order you want. Even if you did it by winning percentage, pick your permanents, pick three. And when you do it, make sure that you count everybody as having a slot and then see where you land. A lot of the time, if you're the institution picking for yourself, you end up with a lot of the same schools. You make the same decision that institutionally we're hearing about as guesses. For instance, if you were Alabama, you're probably going to go ahead and pick Auburn. Paul, do you agree that if you're going to pick a permanent rival, you preserve the rivalry of the Iron Bowl and you take Auburn?
It is. I mean, there are a number of there are a handful of games in the SEC that are not leaving, and that would be at or near the top of the list.
Right. Then you would pick, if you were feeling traditional, you would take Tennessee while also quietly making the guess that much as you have been for much of the history of your program, you're the better program. That Alabama is the better program, and most years that's a dub. Last year accepted, obviously, Tennessee fans just rolling it, remembering that for a minute. But most of the time, you'll take Tennessee. Okay, that gives us the third spot. Paul, what is the rival that you would choose on a permanent basis that was going to give you the highest national profile and the best game while still being a manageable win? It's probably LSU.
Yeah.
You don't want to pick Georgia. Like, these are the picks that institutionally Greg Byrne would probably make. And they're the picks that you, if you were tasked with the part of role-playing as Alabama, you would probably make it. So, I mean, Nick may say he's not happy, but institutionally, that's probably the three you pull.
Yeah, and I'm going to quickly go through these, and they're not final, although they're going to be pretty close. Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. That's a Whitman's assortment. Arkansas, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Texas, Ole Miss, A&M, LSU, Texas, and Mississippi State. Texas, man, they got no favors here, Spencer. Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, and Florida. Probably the weirdest matchup we've seen so far. LSU, Ole Miss, A&M, and Alabama. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, and Arkansas. Those are all regional. State, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and A&M. Bama, we talked about. Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. Ooh. Tennessee, Auburn, Missouri. Tennessee gets Vandy. How about that? LSU and South Carolina. Kentucky State, they already have them every year. South Carolina and Georgia. Georgia, Auburn, Florida, and Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Oklahoma, and South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. I see a couple of winners, and I see a lot of losers.
Yeah, and we should go ahead and say, if you're going to look at it, there's a number of different ways to look at this. You could look at it and say, I want the easiest schedule possible because I'm already playing an SEC schedule. Whatever those next six games are, they're hairy. They're difficult. So my three permanents, I want them to be as easy as possible. And then, of course, there's the traditionalist one. You know, like, do you want to preserve rivalry and tradition? Like, when I look at Texas's, that's a very traditional poll. That's essentially saying we'll give you a little bit of the old Southwest Conference and we'll give you A&M. As you know, we'll start that rivalry again. So, like, there's a blend of that approach in here, and I see what they're trying to do. But I would also remind people of this. Programs don't stay good forever. So if it looks tough now, we remember, like, coming in, if we were to say A&M and Missouri coming into the conference, we'd say which one has had the easier time and appeared in the SEC title more times. You would probably have gone ahead and put your money on A&M, and you would have been wrong.
Sure. Spencer Hall joining us. So, Spencer, so many other things happening. I don't even know where to begin. It has been 2 weeks of – what's that? Oh, I want to ask you about the story in Georgia this week. I literally just saw something I could not believe, and I haven't read the whole article yet. But the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has an article talking about Kirby Smart – failing at a big part of his job. He's getting criticism. He gave an interview to Schlabaugh earlier, and he defended the culture of his program. I realize we don't have all the information, but we have a little bit, and it doesn't look good for Jalen Carter, and that's not really our concern here. How does it look for Georgia?
I don't know if it changes much for Georgia as a program, particularly when within this same week you've got Nolan Smith basically doing an ad for the Georgia football program live from the combine, where he, like everyone else who's from the Georgia defense, will be drafted and drafted in high position by a professional football team. So I don't think it changes a lot on that. And I don't know if this has a whole lot to do with the culture of Georgia football so much as I'm always loath to attach the football program to the actions of young people exercising bad judgment. That's I'm not really necessarily wedded to that. You know, I think it's fun for people when they think, oh, well, my rival's program is out of control, but mine is obviously in total balance and harmony. And that's not always true. And sometimes these things truly are random. I will also say this, that I'm sure from what it looks like, there's a lot of irresponsible behavior, including Jalen Carter not being straightforward with the police. But one, I really don't trust the police in any of these cases. That's something I think that we as journalists fail at a lot of the time, is we take the police report and we take the police at their word. I don't think that's necessarily what we should do. Even if Jalen Carter is lying here, I think it's a good instinct to have if you're somebody. And as a listener or as a fan of a sport, okay, the police story isn't necessarily the one. And by the way, that's Jalen Carter is refuting these charges. He's going to contest them, even though they are just misdemeanor charges. He is going to contest them. He took the mugshot, like a sign of how committed he is to this and the NFL draft. He took the mugshot for the Athens PD at 11 p.m. in his draft bib, in his shirt. So I don't think they're worried about this at all. And I think when we're looking at these kind of cases, in a message that I think is going to resonate with some of your listeners in a way that I don't know if I want it to, we have to wait for all the facts to come in, and we have to be very patient and suspect of everyone's stories at once.
Man, Spencer, you just have wiped this show out for the next 6 months if we have to wait for all the facts to come in.
Oh, I'm not saying you do.
Okay.
Heavens, no, Paul. I can't tell you. I can't. Lord knows I can't tell you all what to do. I can only tell you what I'm going to do.
It is remarkable, as we close down here, the amount of, we used to call them clubhouse lawyers, that this talk show has now employed, where everyone understands their version of the facts, their version.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you deal with something like this, like, nothing's going to fix the fact that there's people, you know, there's like dead kids. There's people who are dead in Athens who shouldn't be because of what was a negligent accident. And whether that has anything to do with the football program, it seems insignificant to me, given the loss both to the people who are in and around the program, but especially to the families and friends of those that knew them. So I always feel a little uncomfortable jousting real hard with that in any direction other than, yeah, this is extremely messed up. And that includes saying that, like, you know, there's a problem with Kirby Smart's culture. That hasn't been the pattern with them. Georgia hasn't necessarily been a program that to this point has been a detriment to their community, quite the opposite. So I don't think we're there yet.
We appreciate your comments. Spencer Hall joining us on this late Friday afternoon. We'll get your reaction to all of that in the news of the day when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. We thank you for being here, and let's check out Myth up next in Kentucky. Hey, Myth.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I was listening to the Spencer guy talking about the Madoff deal, just as there is bad analysts, like terrible. Anyhow, moving on to the Carter guy with involved with the rap and the police or whatever it is. I'd say that, I mean, he might possibly be looking at, you know, minimum 6 months jail time or some kind of agreement that will hinder his rookie year. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I think what you're looking at, based on what everyone is saying, is minimum suspended license, maybe a fine, which is irrelevant to a guy that should be a multimillionaire. I don't know if it goes beyond that, though, unless I know everybody gets uptight about this. I mean, if I misled the police, I'd be charged with a serious crime. But you can always good lawyers, which I'm sure he has, can always go back and amend your original statement. I think the biggest question is leaving the scene of the crime, leaving the scene of the accident. I realize he was not directly involved, but it's a terrible look if one of your teammates and friends is involved in a horrific car crash and you keep going.
I heard you say earlier that, or a couple of days ago, that Todd McShay said something about his character or whatever.
Right.
You checked into it and you couldn't find anything out about it or whatever. But I mean, this guy literally was involved with somebody with that lost their life.
Yeah, no, I talked to people as recently as yesterday who were still defending his character. But he's got serious questions to answer. I mean, I'm not being kind about that. I'm being critical because the Jalen Carter that most of us knew on Tuesday is not the same one that we're looking at today. Thanks so much for the call. And AC is up next.
Good evening, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, tonight I want to address Ahmed, Ice Cream Man. I know he's listening, and he should be. Turn the volume up all the way, Ahmed, because I want to address you. 2 weeks ago, you know, AC doesn't forget. He said, I'm a boring caller. You're right. I'm always boring. We do same thing every day, Ahmed. Even you make boring calls. Last 10, 12 years, only thing you talked about is Nick Saban, Alabama, and Jim from Tuscaloosa. That's all you talk about. Either way, for me, I don't have to talk about you every day. I can talk about 3-4 different callers within a minute or two. I can hang up right away. That's what I can do. Can you even make a call for a minute or two? That's my question. And, by the way, as far as AJ is concerned and all those monkeys like Auburn fans, what they have accomplished all their life, nobody knows. Because they are a loser. Just like all the people who are saying, Nick Saban, this and that. Matter of fact, all the Auburn fans, did you even win the 7 championships like Nick Saban? No, you never did. And Nick Saban, by the way, you are going to be Georgia's puppy dog. Let's face it, this is Georgia's dynasty. So all the monkeys and cockroach, why don't you just call the station and just apologize to yourself because you're a disgraced bad American, which is why I don't like you. But Mr. Feinbaum, I love you, dog. Holla.
AJ is up next.
Well, I mean, my call's kind of flip-flopping here. You know what AC stands for, Paul?
I don't.
Air conditioner, and his calls are about as cold as my air conditioner, I promise you, when I turn it on 40 degrees. But I want to sing you a song today, Paul. You deserve a good song today. You going to allow me to do that? It's a good one.
I hope so.
It says, Miss American Pie. Jim drove his
Chevy. Oh, my goodness. You're ruining America. You're ruining one of the great songs in American rock history.
Hey, but,
by the way, Don McLean just lost his lunch.
Them good old boys knew the truth inside. And this is the day that, as a caller, Jim has died. You killed it, Jim. You killed it. You called your master a liar, Jim. And, Paul, I want to address Chuck. 2 days ago, he comes in late and he calls AJ from Pell City an absolute idiot for being celebratory against Alabama being a negative spotlight. Well, Paul, let me explain something to you. I made a lifetime commitment and signed a contract with Auburn University. And on the first sentence of the contract, it said, do you promise to hate everything about Alabama and the university? And I walked down an aisle, Paul, and I said, I do. I hate everything about Alabama. And I always will. And I promise to. And Mitch, we all know what rhymes with Mitch, and you sound like one every time you call, War Eagle.
I was not, for the record, I was not laughing at that. I had something in my throat. Rick is up next.
Oh.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir. I want to go back over. I heard too many conflicting stories about Brandon Miller.
Yes.
He delivered the weapon. Did they call it a weapon or the heat or the package?
I believe it was called a joint.
After he delivered the joint,
right?
Didn't somebody say he went and parked his car and was not one of the ones blocking the girl in? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard quite a few reports on that.
Well,
yes.
What I want to know is parked his car. How did he? Didn't they say he had 2 bullet holes in the windshield?
Yes, that was correct.
Has that been said?
It has been said.
Well, I want to know where his car was. I'm not familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where his car was that he could get 2 bullet holes in it if he was not at the scene. He supposedly delivered the heat and yeah. left the scene.
You're correct.
Where did the bullet holes come in? That's what I want to know. How did the bullet holes get in his windshield? Well, or in his the metal, whatever.
Well, unless he parked the car and then took off on foot. I really don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Is anybody ever going to answer that for us?
Well, I'm sure somebody will, but I'm not sure it will be correctly considering all the misinformation we've heard today.
Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you very, very much for sharing that. I was just pausing there for my own mental health. Larry is up next. Hello, Larry. You're on the air.
Afternoon, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I heard y'all talking about the kid from Georgia, and you said it was a terrible look that he left the scene, right?
That's what I said, yes.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, because you seem a little less ready to be critical of the kid at Alabama who delivered a gun down to the strip at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Is that right?
I think that's correct. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's different. It's different to call and ask somebody to bring you the pistol at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But when they're at the club and they're on the strip and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean, that's a terrible look too, Paul. Would you agree?
I would. I mean, he's not directly, but he's certainly indirectly involved in a terrible tragedy. Absolutely.
Yeah. Terrible look. So here's my thing. Here's my next question is, and I'm not saying these things have just started happening the last couple of years, but do you see NIL and these athletes having more money and less regulations and everything being less structured to a degree? Do you see things like this becoming more normal?
I do. And Larry, I think part of the problem is NIL brings a lot of opportunity for young people, but what it really does, it makes it virtually impossible for coaches to employ discipline, because if they come down too hard on somebody, they're going to be gone, and it could have an effect on their recruiting. So that's why I think we are having so many more of these. I mean, these things always happen, but it just seems like lately they're happening with more regularity.
And just less law and order in general, because, NIL and paying players now, things that used to be legal and guys lost their jobs for and stuff like that are now legal. And it's just like less law and order. I just think NIL and paying players I agree with you. I think it's going to be contributing to more of these type things.
It's so rare now. I mean, coaches to me, and I'm not trying to go old school here. I'm talking about in within a reasonably short period of time. I think they simply have no authority. And I think the transfer portal is another part of it. I think it's equal to NIL. Yeah, players have more money and all these things, but the risk of coming down on a player and losing him immediately in the transfer portal, I think, does keep coaches up late at night.
For sure, yep. And I also think the kids having more money, disposable income, and, that creates opportunities for them to go out and put themselves in a position to be in situations like that.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think what we're talking about has a direct correlation to Brandon Miller, who's going to be a multi-zillionaire in 3 months anyway, or to Jalen Carter. But on a day-to-day basis, these coaches are just trying to manage. They're like general managers in the NFL. They know that they have to keep up with the payroll. They have to keep up with NIL. They have to make sure agents aren't swooping in, stealing their players. In addition to recruiting year-round, I'm not feeling sorry. I mean, all these guys are making a lot more money than the rest of us. But that it's also a reason why you're seeing coaches leave. Todd Monken. Why did he go back to the NFL? A lot of coaches are just trying to get away from college football because it has become, in many ways, from this standpoint, a cesspool. We'll take a break. More to come right after this. Your phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. Final 30 minutes of the week. Yes. JR is next in Auburn.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, JR. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. I just, you probably don't remember, in 2019, I was a fireman in Beauregard.
Oh, I
Today's do remember
the
anniversary that. The day of the anniversary of that bad tornado, and I just wanted to, you know, kind of recognize the people that passed away that day, and we hauled 140-something people by ambulance to the hospitals in the area and lost 20-something people that day. And I've been in Afghanistan. I've been a fireman for several years. I've never in my life seen anything like that, and it's stuck with me, and it's a tough thing, but the community has rebounded. It's, you know, new houses have been built. It's, you know, everything is turned around. There's a lot of people still missing, you know, that we miss. But I just really wanted to recognize the date and not forget it.
Well, JR, I remember talking to you, and I remember that very well, and I know so many people were involved in that tragedy, and I appreciate you remembering it, and especially those who perished and were affected, but so gratified to hear about the progress and the positivity of moving forward. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Love your show.
You be well. You appreciate everything you've done. Bob is in Fort Worth, and you're on the air. Hello, Bob.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I swore I wasn't going to call you till football season started, but I've been hearing all this stuff the last couple of weeks, and something's come to my mind. I've been thinking about it. This kind of stuff, and look, I'm not picking on Alabama, and I ain't picking on Georgia. Same thing happened at Baylor. Same thing happened at A&M last year. Most of those kids that transferred out was on suspension for silly stuff from inside the locker room to other stuff during the year. But this is what happens. This kind of stuff's what happens when you recruit talent and don't pay any attention to character. The main problem that happened at Baylor was the Baylor Regents, they just could not believe that kids who attended Baylor University could behave like that. But they wanted a national championship so bad that they forgot what they was supposed to be doing. And it may have something to do with NIL and the transfer portal and all that, but when you don't pay any attention to what kind of people you get and you're just watching tape, this is what happens.
What you said, Bob, is true. I remember that story very well, and the trustees were very, very much to blame. They kept covering up and looking the other way, and then you had the president out there who was outrageous in some of his public statements. And obviously, Art Briles, showed less remorse than any person I've ever seen involved in a tragedy.
Yeah, and I still say that when the truth finally all comes out, and look, I'm no Baylor University, you know where my allegiance lies.
Sure.
But when the truth, because I had a daughter who was getting her master's in
athletic management there at the time. And, but when the truth comes out, Art, people are going to look at Art Briles a lot different, because a lot of that stuff, I mean, and the reason Art Briles hadn't said nothing is because it was kind of dumped on him and people walked away from him. But then
Bob, I don't know what you apparently know, but all I do know is that Art Briles has had countless opportunities to show an ounce of contrition. He's never shown anything other than being smug and arrogant and defensive. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that he should say something that he doesn't believe, but he's hurt himself. I think he could have come through this significantly better had he been wiser.
Well, oh yeah, and look, I didn't call to
okay.
prop up Art Briles by any means, but I think he's a hell of a football coach.
Oh, he is.
But,
I agree.
The whole deal wraps around what I was talking about. When you recruit talent and don't pay any attention to character, the stuff like
Bob,
Alabama.
I agree. But here's the issue, and I think you've raised a very important question. These coaches are they're in an arms race right now, and they see somebody who can change everything. And what they used to do, I bet if you got some of the top coaches in college football and said, would you have recruited this guy 10 years ago or 15 years ago? They would have told you privately no. But they're you're right. I mean, it's about character, but it's also about talent, and it's the most essential part in putting the talent on the field. It usually wins. It doesn't always. We saw a case this year with Alabama. We may see two of the top three players drafted from Alabama at critical positions. They didn't have the chemistry on the team. Thank you for the call, or the coaching, quite frankly. Sparky is up next. Hey, Sparky, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm calling you from God's country down here, Paul, right here between Shelby, Alabama, Larry's Running Ground, or Stomping Grounds, and Wilsonville, old Tammy's old stomping
hey,
grounds.
Hey, listen, I know both well. I just lived a little bit north of both of you right now when I was in Birmingham.
Well, I was fortunate enough to meet Tammy a few times, and, you know, she was such a passionate and great Auburn fan. You know, I know a lot of them, you know, it's a little down, or she is in your face. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, a little, but she was a real honest person. That wasn't a makeup. When I met her, that was not a makeup act. She was for real. And, you know, I've been listening for last 2 weeks about Brandon Miller, and now the Carter kid from Georgia. And you got to be careful now. You're upsetting these fan bases. I'm a Bammer. But, you know, you can't pick on one without picking on the other. But you know, I don't know neither one of these kids. But I have a feeling that neither one of them intended for anybody to get hurt. You know, they were just doing what young people do. Okay. I've drag raced people. You know, I've took people's things when they asked me to bring them to them. You know, what's coming out of all this is just unfortunate for both of them. It's a scar and a stain that I don't know if they'll ever get over. You know, last week, Brandon Miller scores 41 points in a game, scores a game-winning shot in another game, wasn't even considered for player of the week. Anybody else in America would have been player of the week, especially a freshman. Now, Smith kid, a great defensive. I mean, this dude just absolutely dominated the game when he was in there. But forever from now, he's going to be attached to this incident. Everything we do in life, every action, there's a reaction, Paul. And you know as well as I do, you can't have it any other way. So you got to be careful what you pick, what you choose to do. But the people who keep calling in and bashing these kids, you know, I guarantee you, none of them ever did anything like this. None of them ever intentionally or unintentionally. But I hear the disdain in their voice. This lady called earlier and she said, would any other college in America, would you be playing if you delivered a murder weapon? Well, I don't know. I don't think he knew he was delivering a murder weapon. I don't think they texted him and asked him to deliver a murder weapon. He just said, bring me my gun. He might have been in trouble for all the kids now. And the Carter kid. Man, that's just drag racing. That's just being a young person. I promise you, the kid didn't want nobody to get hurt. You know, people just need to lighten up. You know, there's a tragedy here. A five-year-old doesn't have his mother. A mother and father doesn't have their daughter. Another father doesn't have their son over there in Georgia. But yet all these people, they have time to call up here and give us their righteous ideas and why these kids were so wrong. And I don't know, Paul. I'm a sports fan. Love sports. But this is bringing out the ugly, this part of sports. It's not about my team or your team right now. Get a grip, people. Okay? Just get a grip.
Thank you so very much, Sparky. You be well. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I do kind of echo your last caller. I do agree that Brandon Miller is going to have to live with this situation, right? I mean, he made a bad decision. He's going to have to live with it and get through it. I mean, eventually he will get through it somehow. And we all will, too. What I do think, though, I think some callers, some people, you know, they like to apply the legal statutes and the laws to what he did, right? He brought the gun. He didn't do anything to be charged. But we forget that the same laws applies to his age, right? He's a legal adult. So at some point, we do have to account. We do have to hold people accountable. And I've made mistakes. I've made bad choices in my life, right? But again, like I said, we get through it. We handle it. And we move on. The second point, last point I want to make about the Brandon Miller thing. A lot of callers also like to say that, oh, he didn't know there was a gun in the car. It was covered up, right? It was a shirt over it, I think. Is that what's being reported?
That is correct. Paul. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so my thing with that, sure. My thing with that, what else would it be? Like, why wouldn't it be covered up? Can you think of a situation where a student athlete at a major university like the University of Alabama would ride around at 1-2 in the morning with a gun uncovered in his backseat? I can't think of any other situation where that would happen. So of course it's covered up, right? So let's just all accept the fact that I think he knew. I think he and his lawyers, I know they said that he doesn't know. I just don't buy that because I can't buy that this person would ride around in a car at that time of night with a gun in his backseat. That's all I want to say about the Brandon Miller case. I'm definitely not bashing him. I want him to get through it. I want him to live his life like anybody else. But I do want us to think about just holding young people accountable. That's kind of how this life thing works. Thanks for taking
Jay,
my
thank
call.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.